Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Weekly, the show where we bring you the best clips from some of our amazing Red Men Plus podcasts. Hope you're all doing well. If you are, then I might be bringing you down a little bit, so I do apologise. But yeah, we do have to go back and talk about the Wolves draw one more time. Listen, at least the Reds didn't lose that one yet. So on this week's final word show, Chris, Steve Plunk and Ian Young had a good old chat about what went wrong in Liverpool's 2-2 draw with Wolves.
So there you go, enough beating around the bush. We're about probably half an hour into the show now. We're going to talk about, and we're going to air it all out, I think, from this point onwards. And Ian, I'll stick with you on this one, mate. What the fuck is wrong with us?
I don't know. There's so many different problems across the pitch. You've got some players who aren't trying hard enough. You've got some players who are trying too hard. We just look like 11 individuals right now. There's no group, there's no teamwork there. The individual errors are giving us away, team errors are giving us away, they're giving goals away. And it's frustrating, it is so frustrating. I think if it was one problem, the frustration we're all feeling right now, we wouldn't feel it. The problem is now, it's become like a blame game. Like, Brentford, we lost against Brentford, it was Klopp's fault. Then the next day it was Elliott's fault, and the day after that it was Pep Linder's fault. The reason we're looking to blame is because we don't know. Liverpool fans like to think they can sort problems out themselves. They like to look in and say, that's the problem, we can sort that out. Right now, as a fan base, we can't do that. Apart from saying it's the midfield every week, which we know we've got issues in the midfield, we still cannot put our one finger on what the problem is. Because there's people saying it's FSDs, people saying it's the midfields, people saying it's the age of players. There's no quick fix. And I think we're just going to have to get used to this is a transitional period for us now. We're not going to suddenly start winning 20 games in a row. That's not going to happen. If you think that's going to happen, I'm one of the most positive fans out there. I'm always for being that positive. This is going to be a grind now, getting through to the end of the season. It's going to be a grind. If you think we're going to go on a 20-game winning run now, I think you're a little bit deluded. And get ready
There's
for
no
the
evidence
graft.
Of it. There's no evidence
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, get ready
this
for
season.
The graft.
Yeah, we're back in the pack, aren't we? You know, I don't know whether we're back in the pack or we're mezzanine level when there's a top tier above us. Like we've got the players to be able to win any game of football. Mm. But we've not got anywhere near the consistency to be able to do that week in, week out. And Steve, we were talking off camera before, and I think a lot of it is down to the tactics and the system that Klopp is playing. Because, and I'll give you an example of this. When Ronaldo was at Manchester United last season, or this season, when United was at Manchester United this season, a lot of people were pointing the finger saying, you know, he doesn't press, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. That doesn't help a system, a pressing system side that Ten Hag wants to introduce into Manchester United. I get that. One player can completely ruin a press. It really can, and especially if it's your forward. But when there's when there's three players in the middle of the park who can't play the system that you want, that makes everything so much more difficult, because if you haven't got legs in the middle of the park, you can't press high up the field. You can't play a high line. Because the strikers, I think there's a sort of thing, Steve, where over the last few years, and we've got used to gegenpressing at Liverpool Football Club, We win the ball high up the pitch. Now, to the untrained eye or ear, that would then make them think the strikers win the ball. It's not always the strikers that win the ball. It's the midfielders in the second phase of the press where the ball bobbles free and then you get it to the strikers very, very quickly. The strikers have to get out to them. They cause a mistake. The midfielders get out, they win the ball. Or it ends up with your defence because they just hoof the ball to you and you win the ball. Liverpool aren't getting any pressure from the middle of the park. So the strikers can still get there, but they're not getting close enough, I don't think, at the moment anyway. But they also understand what's behind them. The midfielders aren't getting anywhere near them. We've become predictable in our build-up play. We've become predictable in our press, and we've been really unpredictable in our defensive work. Like that's three things that you can't be. You can't be predictable in those two and unpredictable in how you defend it. It's going to fuck you up. But the midfield, I think, is the crux of the issue right now, Steve, because you can't have Klopp's system without midfielders that haven't got legs.
You're quite right. If you sit in an elevated position, watch the title-winning side deliver the press, it's staggering to watch. It's a team movement as opposed to an individual movement, and you're right. So we'll summarise it very quickly. The front three close it down. The defender's got a decision to make. He's got an awkward ball to play into somebody. He's got to get rid of it because he's been under pressure, so he fires it into the midfield. By the time he's fired it into the midfield, his options have been closed down by Henderson, Fabinho and Wijnaldum at the time. They suffocate the guy getting the ball, they take the ball off him, and suddenly we're on the attack. Manchester City have felt this so many times in their half. At the moment, we might go and try and apply some pressure. But the personnel in the midfield, and you're quite right, that midfield three we had, Wijnaldum, Fabinho and Henderson, was flat. It was a flat three. So it moved as a flat three. Elliot's starting position is 10 yards further advanced than, say, Fabinho, so there's a space in front of the right-back that he leaves. Thiago is he wins his battles, his 50-50 battles, one-on-one. He's won some good challenges. He's reasonably good in the air for a man of his size, but he's not a player that... We didn't bring him into the side for his pressing ability. We brought him into the side for his ability to control football matches. Yeah. We're not getting the best out of Thiago with our current tactics. You're quite right. The midfield press is non-existent. Give you a really good example of where it goes wrong. Leicester, Dewsbury Hall, wins the ball. There's a single press by Henderson that doesn't work.
You die if you single press.
He's then got to try and put in a challenge, which doesn't work. He then gets to run at the right side of our back four. Matip comes out to engage him, far too far up the pitch, creating a massive void between him and Van Dijk in terms of the space. He gets around the press, the pressure from Matip, and he's got a shot at goal, which he scores. West Ham away. Jared Bowen carries the ball on the other side for 40 yards. No tactical foul. Plays the ball through. Four Niles is clean through and he scores. Sometimes you don't know what you've got till it's gone. Our fan base hounded Gini Wijnaldum. We are crying out for a Gini Wijnaldum right now. That the difference between that so-called Brexit midfield, which is a terrible tag, but it's what our fans used to use, and where we are right now, we cannot press at the moment. What we're forced to do right now to try and solve this, and it isn't working, because the last thing that Klopp and Linders are going to give away is the high back line, because they love it. But the reality is, as you said at the start of this section, you can't play a high back line when you can't press. So we need to drop off and we need to become a more of a counter-attacking side, which goes against everything we've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years.
And yet with Nunes, it might actually help us.
We've got someone who... We're bypassing our midfield at the moment because I think we're terrified of it.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Nunes to isolate a central defender or a full-back one-on-one, get a ball into him which he can use because he's faster with the ball than most players are without. So we've become a little bit one-dimensional in that regard. We're trying the same with Mo Salah, and Mo Salah hasn't the physicality of Nunes. So you put Mo Salah up against Luke Shaw, who's quite quick and quite physical. Mm-hmm. Luke Shaw plays well against Mo Salah because he thinks he's got his number physically. That wouldn't be the same against Darwin Nunes. He will take any centre defender, any fullback on in the league, knowing he will beat him. We are actually bypassing our midfield and we're building play.
And that's it. I mean, we build up quite slowly, but then our midfielders can't get back. So, like, when we lose the ball high up the field, we're so easy to counter.
And that's why we're doing
the moment,
it.
Yeah.
And another big thing as well is Fabinho. Because Fabinho, if Gini wasn't on it, Fabinho had this ability to cover that whole part of the pitch, and he just has not the ability to do it anymore. I don't know whether he's aging faster than most 29-year-olds, but there's something fundamentally wrong with Fabinho this season. And I'd say probably coming up to the end of last season as well, something doesn't seem right.
I think it's very easy to judge Fabinho, to be honest with you, on what we might think he's doing, but when the other two midfielders don't have the legs to be able to do it alongside you are the last line of the midfield and you're the quote-unquote defensive midfielder. So it's easy to lump all the problems onto Fabinho, but actually it's the three of them that are supposed to be doing the work.
I have some sympathy with Fabinho. Yeah, same here. You just said, sorry mate, six is good when the eights work well either side, and the eights are dreadful at the moment. So 7 minutes into a game, Thiago's not home, Fabinho's got to shoot across to the left-hand side to try and snuff out the danger. That happens, the ball's wet to Robbo, we try an expansive ball forward to get Nunes one-on-one, it breaks down, we're giving the ball away so much at the moment. Then 30 seconds later, they're coming down the right-hand side, and he's got to go and fill the massive chasm on the right-hand side. So whilst Fabinho is not the Fabinho of the side that won the league, I wouldn't want to be playing in this position at the moment because he's getting no help.
And he's made because of the way it's going in the midfield as well. He's always been a physical player, but he was an intelligent player as well. I think he's making decisions he would not have made 18 months ago. He's jumping in.
And that, like I said, I was
going to criticise him, but when you look at it that way, he's having to make decisions that he wouldn't have made before.
Right, that's the last we'll ever have to hear of that game ever again. Hopefully it brought you a little bit of therapy, if nothing else. Moving on then to this week's transfer show. Dan Clubb was in the host chair for that one, joined by Sam Walker and by Saj Iqbal. Yeah, there's loads and loads and loads of players being linked with Liverpool. Check out what the guys had to say on this week's transfer show.
Nunes deal, we know what sort of, I think we all know what's more or less going to happen with that hope. I think it's going to be a summer sort of signing. Mm. And if we're going in for a sort of Bellingham, they're saying in the summer, that's like £120 million on there. Do I really see a big money transfer this window? Probably not, just because of that reason. Mm. Do we need one? Probably, because I just think if we don't get top four, there is a massive, massive cry for, is Bellingham going to join us in the summer? And sometimes I feel as though you've got to be active.
Can I throw a question in there? Something Klopp said the other day, and I've always agreed with this. If Bellingham is due to sign for us, which a lot of us believe he is, and he turns away because we finished fifth, is Bellingham the right type of player you want to join our club anyway?
Look, personally, I think not a player like Bellingham, he's so good, he can turn us down.
But what I'm saying to you is that...
Is he the right man for the club anyway?
If you walk away because someone finishes fifth, like Gabriel Jesus joined Arsenal, who's a top player, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
More proven than Bellingham is. Yeah. And they were in the Europa League, and look at them now. Yep. Like, the mentality of, what was it Klopp said? I want to push the bus. That's their mentality.
About the Gakpo, that was, wasn't it?
Was it Gakpo?
Yeah, he doesn't want to get on the bus. He wants
to help us get there. So the whole Champions League thing for me, as a fan, I don't... People probably shout at me down through the camera now, but if Bellingham turns around and says, I've only signed for Liverpool to get the Champions League, see you later, mate, I don't need to sign for us anyway, because I think there's a much bigger picture to join the football club than one season, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and there are caveats to that. I mean, it's very easy to throw away line to say, oh, we need Champions League football, otherwise we don't get Bellingham. Nobody truly knows that,
of course.
But he is also very young, so he does have time on his side in terms of he's got a lot of Champions League football to play. And to Sam's point, we often sign players who are hungry, like Diogo Jota is a good example of this, actually, to be better and to play at that standard and to be the reason why Liverpool then get back to their former glories. And Bellingham could well be sitting there going, do you know what? Yes, I'd like to be in the Champions League. But at the same time, if this great football club misses out, I'll go there and I'll be the one to make sure next year they're in it and so on and so on. So there are arguments that I do get it. I'm not entirely sure where I sit on it, to be honest with you. Like, if he turned around and said, listen, I can't come because you're not in the Champions League, I agree with you, Sam. I wouldn't like it. And I'd say, all right, then, you know, fair enough. So you like to have a good career sort of thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I would get that. Like, I get where he is in terms of aspirations and stuff. So it's a really hard one.
It is a hard one. And to be fair, it's a fair question from Sam, what he said. And look, for a player like Bellingham, you can't blame him in a sense as well. Because
he's playing for Dortmund now, though. It's not like he's playing for Barcelona.
But he will be. He could be at Barcelona. He could have Real Madrid, let's say, in the summer, if they come in for him, and like the noises that they are in for him. Mm. So it's just one of them. But I get it. And look, end of the day, we are a club that, you know, Klopp, the players that he genuinely does bring in, there are players that, you know, they're driven players, yeah, and they want to be able to take the Liverpool to the next sort of level. So fair play. Look, if he does choose him, fair play to him. Yeah. If he doesn't, then look, yeah, we'll be over the moon to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we certainly will be. There's no surprise about
that. Do you guys think, because obviously you've just mentioned about Nunes, I've seen a little bit about that from the links of the papers. Do you not think signing him and Bellingham would be like signing two similar players in terms of they're both ball players? Do you not think we need one of each? We probably need one of each, don't we? Like one more combative, one more.
Yeah.
That'd be two interesting signings to get both of them in the summer, wouldn't it? As opposed to a Caicedo and a Bellingham would kind of make more sense.
Those two, if we got those two in the summer, that would point towards a change in formation.
Nunes and Bellingham, you mean?
Yeah, right. Because they've got the athleticism to do that work in there, to do both elements of it, box to box. That's why I'd see it personally, because I tend to agree with you. The Nunes is an alternative to Bellingham, in my opinion, because he's very similar, like you say, in terms of what they offer, in terms of that ball carrying, that wanting to run, to doing that hard work. And I don't think you get Nunes if you sign Bellingham, personally.
Yeah.
I don't think you do. But as for this January transfer window, listen, we might still need a stopgap. We might not get to the summit without one just yet. Just quickly, WV Josh in our Discord has said that he feels that Jude and his team understand that no team in the Premier League is guaranteed to make the Champions League year in, year out. So the fit is more important. And he also mentions the changes that are coming for the Champions League will make it easier for the
coefficients. I was going to say that. So you'd only have 1 year out, max.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like I say, he has got age on his side. He's not a player now where he's looking going, God, I need to play Champions League because I've only got 2 years left. That's not the case. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think João Palhinha, I'm not entirely convinced by that personally. I don't see the fit. Maybe at Tottenham, he might fit in a little bit better there, personally.
Spot on.
Yeah, exactly. I want to move on to a different area of the field, actually, now. I've got a couple more Liverpool ones to do before we do a sort of a quick sweep of the league. Central defence. It's a drum I've been banging for quite a while now, actually, to be honest with you. And I felt that something was coming in terms of this and we needed a defender. Whether it be this window, next window, I think we're all sort of going midfield. Then we signed Gakpo, so that's kind of addressed the attacking issue. But I think the central defence is a thing, personally, because Joe Gomez, loving to pieces, can't rely on him right now, to be honest with you. Nat Phillips is going to move on at some point. John Matip's got a contract situation going on, plus he's got an age and an injury problem going on, really, if you like. Virgil van Dijk is currently injured. So, with all that in mind, it's a lot, I know. And Ibu Konate is brilliant. He wasn't brilliant on the weekend, but he is brilliant.
Yeah.
Inter Milan may feel compelled to sit down with Liverpool to listen to their offers. That's according to Inter Live via Sport Witness, and that is regarding Milan Skriniar, who is, let me tell you, a 27-year-old Slovakian international, vastly experienced centre-half. We've all seen him. He's 238 appearances for Inter. But the big thing here is he's out of contract in the summer. So, Saj, I'll come to you first on this one. First point, I'll ask you two quick, dead quick things. Do we need a centre-half? And could it be him?
Do we need one? Yes. It could be him, definitely. I really like him. I've seen him play for Inter on numerous occasions. And he's a really, really good centre-back. In terms of do we need him now?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Virgil van Dijk's out. Let's face the music. We don't know what... Joe Gomez is completely out of form. From what I've seen anyway, you get one good game, three or four bad games. We can't rely on Matip. We've all the history. History's there for itself. It speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. So if he's available, he'll be there on the cheap. If we can get him, why not? He's 27 years of age. He comes in. He's vastly experienced. And it's probably somebody that we need right now. So that somebody that comes in a bit more assured centre-back, being there, sort of done it, played in the Champions League, like Sam mentioned. It's somebody that, if he's there... I would definitely take him.
Yeah, he's been a wanted man. Loads of big clubs in the Premier League and beyond have been linked with him for a long time. Because he's a high-quality operator, there's no two ways about it. The Virgil van Dijk injury might have sort of changed this up, because previously the profile defender I was looking at was someone younger who can kind of... A Kanate type who can learn a little bit, and they'll sort of slowly get integrated as Matip plays less and less and Virgil potentially plays less and less. But what Skriniar is, Sam, is a plug-and-play. There's a Champions League quality centre-half. Go and do something with him. Do you think we're in the market for one of them at all?
If you had my preference before the Gakpo sign, it would probably been midfielder, midfielder, forward defender, in like whatever order. It looks like by the end of the summer, we're going to have probably a couple of new midfielders in. Mm-hmm. So the next Porto Corby defence. So I always thought in my sort of looking at the team and the squad, Matip's contract's up in 24, we'll probably sign someone then. Virgil play until he can. Konate and Gomez are young, and Gomez is homegrown, which is massive.
Yeah.
So I think when you weigh it all up and stuff like that, I think it's probably just an option come too soon. I don't know if you're going to talk about him, but there's the Croatian lad,
Gradiel.
He's and you see his comments the other day.
Oh, he loves Liverpool.
He's class.
He's more of a Liverpool fan than we are. I think. Like, he's absolutely adores.
Like I don't know his contract situation. I don't know where's he even.
He Leipzig. He won't be leaving this summer. Leipzig have said that. Like recently, but to your point, that could make sense. Yeah.
And we've got relationships with them, with the Keita, with the Konate, and hopefully Keita goes back there.
Anywhere.
But like, so when you look at it from that perspective, like I am still on the, I'd rather bring somebody in who's going to challenge for the first team now and forever, like the club tends to do. But, you know, again, I think he's a good player. If Liverpool went and got him in the summer for free, you wouldn't moan, let's put it that way. Yeah, you'd be like, sand, stocked up there, belter.
Yeah. Do you know what that would be reminiscent of? It'd be reminiscent of signing Joel Matip for free when we got him, you know what I mean? That would be the ideal sort of replacement. Well,
is he 27 now, or is he going to be 28?
No, he's 27. I see.
Do you know what I mean?
So,
because if you give him a free 4-year deal, he'll only be 31 when he finishes. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, and just reminded me as well, what he has got is he's going to be 28 quite soon. He's 28 in February.
Okay.
What he has got, though, is a really good injury record. He's got a boss injury record. Like, he's picked up like one or two problems. I think one of them was COVID at some point, which every man and his dog got, didn't they, at one point? So, and one of his injury problems was COVID, followed by quarantine. So his injury record is superb. You haven't got concerns. Like, normally, when you see the age, you go, sort of steer clear, because you don't know what baggage that comes with.
Yeah.
But, you know, so far, Skriniar doesn't have a lot. So it's an interesting one.
There'll be a lot sniffing around him.
Loads, especially if he's free. Yeah.
United, Chelsea, I can imagine loads.
I'm not convinced Liverpool will sort of push the button on even a cheap deal in January on him, because I'm not sure he's neat. If this was the year we lost all our centre-halves and he was out of contract in the summer, he'd be going, get it done, 20 million, 50, whatever, press it, go. But we're not there yet, I don't think, in terms of centre-half. Listen, I'm not going to say it. If we lost another one, it'd be really bad. I'm not sure this happens now, but like I say, for free, I think it's a no-brainer. Coming back to my usual comparison website, that comparison website sounds like compare the market. It's not FBF. His similar players, interestingly, are Wout Face from Leicester. Now, we know he's got an eye for goal, don't we? We know that. We know he can find the back of the net for the Reds. So maybe
scale as well, by any chance.
Presnel Kimpembe at PSG, and Fikayo Tomori, obviously we know well from his Chelsea days, who's now at Inter Milan. So for me, when I hear Skriniar, he's a bit of a no-nonsense, sort of old-school centre-half, get rid of stuff, like a top class Nat Phillips type player. I don't know, we'll rate him again later. It's an interesting one. Like I say, I'm not convinced we'll go for a defender. Having signed Gakpo, if we then went and spent money on a defender and not a midfielder in this window, I don't even want to look.
It'd be stubbornness then, wouldn't it?
I don't even want to look. It'd be crazy.
Right then, next up, it's my personal favourite show of the week. And I don't just say that because I'm on it, but that does help, I must admit. It's Journo Inside Time. Yeah, each and every week, Goal.com's Neil Jones, a man who knows what he's talking about, plentiful. He got absolutely clued up to the nines. Yet Neil and I spoke about Liverpool's midfield issues. What's going on? Why are they not signing someone? Are they going to sign someone? A couple of names mentioned as well. So yeah, do check out this week's Journo Insight.
The longer it goes on the season, the more I just think, well, why wouldn't you really, you know? It might not be the difference between sixth and fourth, but it'll definitely give you a better chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Go and check out Neil's piece, by the way, over there. Go and check his Twitter account, at Neil Jones Goal, and you'll be able to find it over there. Moving on then, the next one is Coop Miners. It's Tion. Okay, yeah, I struggle with the first name, which is mad because it's four letters. But the second thing I've kind of half got. But the guys from the Anfield are reporting this from elsewhere. But it's essentially Liverpool holding interest in Coop Miners. The Italian club sporting director insists there's nothing concrete yet. I'll just scroll down a little bit there. He says, for Coop Miners, there's nothing concrete with Liverpool. Their interest pleases us, but he is our player. That's Tony D'Amico. He told Sky Italia ahead of their clash with Bologna on Monday night. So the talk about that is obviously there might be something in it, or he's suggesting there might be something in it again. But the welcome the interest one is another one where it's like, well, if you want him, he's there, and you have to pay for him a bit as well, because I'm guessing Atalanta aren't one of those teams who are just going to stand and play his way. But again, it's another one on the surface it could make sense. There's a lot going for him. I know I'm going to incorporate a club legend question from R. Kumar, who says, how much truth is in this rumour? But is there anything that you've heard?
Yeah, I think he's a name on a list, though. I think it's definitely, you know, I think if you look, probably a more general point, and there's a few players that have been linked with Liverpool, well, a lot of players have been linked with Liverpool, who it would represent a move away from where they've been. And, you know, I think, you know, if you're looking at 18, 19-year-old sort of unknown midfielders, that would be a leap for Liverpool to start doing that for good money. But if you look at who the players they've bought, you know, for the first team over the last 5 years, you know, Jota, Canate, Fabinho, Keita, Mane, Salah, Diaz, Nunes, Gakpo, they've all been sort of 21 to 25, 150, 200 games, usually European experience, usually international experience or some kind of, you know, that kind of thing, usually from a club below Liverpool's standing, you know, maybe a Europa League club or an occasional Champions League club. And they've all had a sort of a profile where you'd say, yeah, they've got physicality as well as talent. So, Turncoat Miners, yeah, I'd say he probably fits that bill. I mean, he actually scored in the game on Monday night. I don't know if you saw it. It was a pretty...
I think everyone saw it.
Thomas Hitzlsperger hammer from outside the box. So, in that sense, he fits the bill. You know, you've got his stats up there. How many games he played in his career?
Yeah, 230.
There you go. So, that's a lot of... You know, he's 24, I think he is. So, you've got a lot of data there to sort of say, well, yeah, okay. His availability would be... I would imagine would be probably top of the list in terms of for any potential new signer, right? What's he like? Is he available? Does he play a lot of games? So he does tick boxes. Atalanta players, a very high intensity system. Liverpool played against Atalanta, obviously seen him. They've done wonders in Italy over the last few years with Gasperini and some of the players that have come out of there and emerged as, you know, real top players, played in the Champions League, got through to the last eight, I think, of the Champions League in the pandemic season. So there's a lot of boxes there, but there's a lot of boxes for a lot of players as well. You know, we've spoken about Mateus Nunes, we've spoken about Conrad Lima, we could speak about Bellingham, obviously Enzo Fernandez has been linked. I don't think that'll happen, but you've got Caicedo, you've got Alexis McAllister. You know, there's so many midfielders about that you'd say, okay, yeah, and it's just whether Liverpool... Which one Liverpool pick the sort of the gamble on, really? You know, Nunes seems like one that looks like there's a bit more in it than there is.
Yeah,
I'm
giving one of the biggest bear hugs I've ever seen at a full time.
That's usually a telltale sign. I always remember Jürgen used to. I would be amazed if it doesn't emerge. Oh, this is a complete aside. after Jürgen's left Liverpool and long into that, that he made big moves to get Harry Kane, because every single time Liverpool play Tottenham, Harry Kane gets an absolute welcome.
Son as well, he seems like Son, straight for Son.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, you're right. I did notice that Jürgen sort of made a beeline for him, and yeah. So I would say that Coop Miners is maybe one that's on a list in case blah 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 doesn't happen, as opposed to Coop Miners is the one.
Yeah. It makes sense. Like one thing he does do is mad, because I know he plays in like a two-man midfield, but he scores goals. Liverpool haven't really got a goal scoring midfielder at the moment. If you look at all of them, Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, even Harvey Elliott, they don't really score that many goals. Like looking at Coop Miners, he scored 16 in 1920, 17 in 2021. That was in Holland. He's got four last year. He's got five already this season. Like, that is something that they are missing. I mean, like you say, they're missing, they might not be, because scoring goals isn't that big of a problem, but it is a different, it is something that they haven't got really.
I mean, I know Elliot's there, but he's 6'1", I think. He's a tall, left-footed midfielder, you know, so there's a bit of balance there. He's played a couple of different positions. I covered Holland in the World Cup, in their games, and he was in and out of the side. I think he was on the pitch in the quarterfinal by the end against Argentina, but he didn't, I wouldn't say he sort of stood out. I think, as I've said a few times about Gakpo, it was hard to stand out in a Holland team, really. And you know, you were doing a lot of the ugly work as opposed to the sort of shining on the ball. But yeah, you know, he's in and around that Dutch setup, so he'll have a couple of potential phone numbers that he can call.
Agent Virgil again, get back to
Cody, Agent Cody. But that's a film, isn't it? There are strings you can pull at, but I wouldn't say that he's sort of, from what I can gather, I wouldn't say he's at the top of Liverpool's list. But yeah, he's certainly a player that if he's doing what he's doing at Atalanta, he's doing what he's doing for Holland, then he's going to be in Liverpool's hitting zone.
And it looks like it's a player you can get out of a team as well, because that's the thing with January. Yeah. It's easy, like you mentioned there, Juventus. Well, why would they sell Rabiot if they're in a title race? It looked like Atalanta are a team, again, the director pretty much says as much, we welcome the interest. Like, yeah, it's a team who you know you'll be able to get a player out of.
Yeah, I mean, they look like they're going to fall out of the Champions League qualification as well. I think they're sixth or seventh in Serie A. You know, they've had a good run at it. I mean, don't rule them out, obviously, but it might be one of them that, you know, in the summer, it is a bit of a refresh or that kind of thing. But at the moment, I think it's a wait and see with Liverpool on players like that.
Thanks very much to me and Neil for that one. Yeah, and do ciao, gentlemen. So like I say, it's my favourite show. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. If you do go on over to Red Men Plus, it is one of our most popular shows, and I'm sure you will like it too. Speaking of new and popular shows and people who know who they're talking about, or what they're talking about rather, The Deep Dive, our newest show, Chris Pajak and Josh Williams at Distance Covered. You've probably heard Josh on other podcasts such as Analysing Anfield on the Blood Red podcast as well, but Josh has now agreed and signed up with us. Absolutely fantastic news. And yet The Deep Dive goes out every single Friday. We have a show on YouTube and we have a show over on Red Men Plus as well. So yeah, check out a clip from this week's show, which, like I said before, is available on Red Men Plus.
Josh, your topic this week you wanted to discuss was Jude Bellingham. Now, in obviously a transfer season, everyone's talking about Liverpool's problems, of which there are many, by the way. But midfield is at the top of everyone's sort of Christmas list already. In fact, it's not even a Christmas list, it's just a January list. And a lot of people are talking about multiple midfielders. A lot of people are talking about just Jude Bellingham. And you wanted to talk about Jude Bellingham. So why do you want to talk about Jude?
Well, I think Liverpool's midfield department right now is interesting, because in addition to being really old and tired and shattered, okay, and all those negatives.
Go easy, fucking hell. You Jesus also... Christ, Josh. You just killed him in 2 minutes. We just started the show.
You also have a gang of players leaving in Naby Keita, James Milner and Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. So that's a proper renovation job that Liverpool are going to have to undergo. And as a result of that, I've seen some people say, like, maybe Liverpool need three midfielders who are worth like maybe 40 million each or so, rather than dedicating the whole of the budget to one player in Jude Bellingham. I'm not quite sure where I stand on that one. What about yourself? You got any thoughts on that?
I think, right, that Fabinho's not fucked. I do. I really do. I think he's being made to look like he's fucked.
Okay.
Because I don't think the other two are helping out enough. And I love watching Thiago Alcantara. He's been one of my actual favourite players to ever watch at Anfield or live, because he's so skillful. He's so sort of oppressive sometimes against the other side and stuff. I just think he might not fit us, or might not fit what I think a Jurgen Klopp side is. So I think that Liverpool need two midfielders, personally. And Thiago, I don't think he's got the legs to play 35, 40, 50 games a season. So you rotate him in for specific games and stuff. That's probably where I'm at the moment. But I'm here to be proved wrong.
No, well, I think Liverpool need at least two as well. But I think rather than spending an equal amount on each player, today I'm going to provide a case as to why Bellingham, if you are going to do it, which I'm not necessarily sure is the best ploy, but if you're going to do it, he's as close as you're getting as like a one-man midfield department, basically. He can essentially do it all. Now, anyone...
Are we thinking Kante? As like, he was a one-man midfield, but in a different way.
Yeah, well, I think Bellingham's more rounded
than
Kante. But I know what you're saying, though, yeah. And I think if you watch Bellingham, it's quite obvious to anyone through just the eye test that he's really, really good. You know, you don't need numbers, really. But I think by applying numbers and by quantifying what he does and comparing it to, like, his peers, you can get a vibe of, like, just how much he is doing on the pitch compared to the average player, and why him alone in Liverpool's midfield department this season would have probably addressed a lot of the issues. So, first of all, we talk about Liverpool's midfield as the issue, but I think beyond that, what specifically in the midfield department is the issue? And for me, it's Liverpool against the ball and on the defensive side of the game. It's not so much what we do with the ball, it's more defensively. Too wide open, easy to cut through, not dominant enough. The safety net that we've had in previous years to support the risks that Trent and Salah are taking is no longer there, really. So I think first, we'll touch on Bellingham in a defensive sense. You know, Klopp recently in that Wolves game touched on Liverpool not winning enough challenges, for example. That's not good enough. That's not a Jurgen Klopp midfield by any means. So we'll touch on defensive stats first. Obviously, defensive statistics can be a bit... you've got to be careful with them, basically. You know, Virgil van Dijk, for example, did not show up as a defensive monster in the numbers, because his way of defending is just by using presence a lot of the time, isn't it?
The lad at Burnley who's got a billion headers a game shows up really high.
Exactly.
You know, same with goalkeepers, the ones with loads of saves. You might think they're the best, but actually they've had the most shots.
Exactly.
Alisson might make more integral saves, but he's not going to show up.
Yeah, exactly. So often there's context lacking around defensive numbers, but luckily for us in Bellingham's case, he just looks good anyway. So in the Bundesliga this season, he is currently second in the whole division for tackles and interceptions total. I should be using PA90 stats, really, but I thought if I don't, it keeps things simple and it offers an insight maybe into his availability anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in the top two there for tackles and interceptions overall in the Bundesliga. And he's third overall for recoveries, behind only Joshua Kimmich and Edmund Tapsoba, who's actually a centre-half for Leverkusen. Now, a recovery, for a bit of perspective, is, say, for example, a ball drops out the sky, and it's just kind of like loose on the edge of the final third, and no one's kind of around it. That loose ball, if you pick it up, that's a recovery. Bellingham's doing a lot of that. And for our viewers who are tuning in on YouTube, a visualisation will appear on the screen now just to show where Bellingham ranks in comparison to some of his midfield peers in the Bundesliga. As you can see, he's right near the top, ranking as like an outlier. When it comes to those numbers that I've just touched on, and this is on a PA90 basis, by the way, and I've included some names that you might be familiar with there in terms of Liverpool targets.
Just in terms of the audio listeners then, Josh, what are you plotting here on this graph?
So on the left-hand side, we've got recoveries, and on the bottom axis, we've got tackles and interceptions, PA90. This is just players in the Bundesliga, midfielders, who've played at least 450 minutes this season, and it's a scatter plot. And as you can see, Bellingham is proving himself to be a bit of an outlier in comparison to another few. Florian Neuhaus, who Liverpool were linked with a while back, is not. Manu Kone is another player who Liverpool seem to like, according to reports. He's doing well, but not to the extent that Bellingham is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think across the board, in the rest of his defensive numbers, it's similar. For example, another area that Liverpool have been lacking this season has been the counter-press, pressing the final third. He ranks top of the division for most tackles in the final third. So you could argue with him in the team, maybe the press gets fixed a little bit. And he's also seventh in the division for the percentage of dribbles that he's tackled. So out of the 25 lads who've tried to dribble past him, he's tackled 20 of them. Mm-hmm. So overall, just in terms of the defensive side of the game, you can see Bellingham's made a difference there in terms of Borussia Dortmund, at least in the Bundesliga. And he was quite surprised by his defensive numbers, weren't you?
Yeah, definitely, to be honest with you. Because when I've watched Bellingham for England, and I can't tell you that I've not watched more than five games of him for Dortmund, and probably not more than five games of him for Dortmund. I get the impression that he's this sort of silky footballer, in the same way that Alan Hansen was a silky footballer back in the day for a centre-half, that just sort of floats around the pitch, picking nice passes off and all this type of stuff. But the numbers suggest that he's just so much more than that, and yet he's got all the silkiness. He's got the eye for a pass, and yet he's got this defensive thing, and he doesn't... It's mad, isn't it? Because you get eyeball tests on players. He doesn't look like a defensive player. No. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, does that make any sense whatsoever? Yeah, yeah. Mascherano looked like a fucking DM. He looked like a little terrier, didn't he?
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham looks like he's just going to float in and ping the ball in from 35 yards and score and wheel away celebrating. And that's the type of player that I thought he kind of was.
Yeah. Well, he gets compared. Well, he doesn't get compared, but if it's like he's kind of put in the box of like a Gerrard or a Lampard, really, in terms of like, arriving late and scoring goals and things like that, and he's got that to his game. But what reason why I touched on that first is because he's surprisingly suitable to Liverpool's problems at the minute when it comes to shoring up that defensive side of the game. So in addition to his defending, what he's doing against the ball, I think second on the list for what Liverpool's midfielders suffer from this season would probably be physicality, really, wouldn't it? In terms of like the physical edge, a Klopp team, intense covering ground and all that stuff. Now, I get asked all the time, how much distance does this player cover? You can probably guess why I get asked that, because my distance covered on Twitter, I've never got the answer, because physical statistics are not publicly available.
You might get the odd Sky graphic now and again.
Yeah. But physical statistics in the Premier League, at least, you just don't come across them. You can't get them. For some reason, in the Bundesliga, you can. So we can touch on Bellingham in that sense. So he's sixth in the league overall so far for distance covered. He's 11th for sprints, and he's fourth for intensive runs, which I'm assuming is something between a jog and a sprint. So on top of fixing Liverpool's defensive concerns in a way, he's also kind of like fixing Liverpool's physical edge, because he's one of the most industrious players in Germany, really. And then we kind of get to the attacking side of the game. Because when it comes to Bellingham, you know, say for example, you've got a defensive player who's fixing this for Liverpool, a lot of the time they don't have the attacking side of the game either. Mm-hmm. So, say for example, Wan-Bissaka at Man United, he fixed defensive issues for them. But then when you've got the ball, he's a massive problem because you can't break down a team with him. Bellingham is one of the reasons he's special, is because he couples in all that physical stuff, all the defensive stuff, with a real ability on the ball.
Awesome insight there from Josh and from Chris as ever. Really, really loving our new show. I'm sure you guys will too. If you do like want to check that one out, like I mentioned earlier, head on over to redmenplus.com. All of our shows are pretty much available in video and podcast forms for you. If you are a podcast listener who only is interested in podcasts and you only like listening on Spotify, absolutely fair enough. Spotify is a great app. You can sign up through there as well. Just search for Red Men Plus Podcasts on there. You can sign up, you can pay them directly. Listen, you won't get access to the videos and stuff, but if you are such an adamant Spotify user, then fair play, go and get yourselves involved that way as well. So yeah, there's redmenplus.com or there's Red Men Plus Podcast on Spotify. Either way, we've got you covered. I'll be back next week with another one of these. Until then, everyone, see you later.
If you want more, an extra Red Men podcast each and every week, but you're unsure what the best platform for it, well, the best platform is, of course, redmenplus.com. But if you are absolutely married to Spotify, if you cannot live without Spotify in your life, you can get the Red Men Plus podcast there now. Simply search for us on there, sign up through there, and you'll be able to access all of the new weekly podcasts from Red Men Plus directly in your Spotify app.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.